All right, good morning. I thought it will be more joyful morning, you know, Christmas is coming. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Good morning. All right, few days to go for Christmas. I hope you are joyful, you're excited. I surely am, you know, even the stage is colorful and joyful. There's bling bling everywhere. We thank and praise God for whoever decorated the church. It looks really wonderful. Christmas is one of the biggest festivals on earth. Whether you're home watching TV or with your family or with your loved ones, Christmas vibes are obvious. Even on the internet, there is a lot going on for Christmas as more brands are trying to reach out to the customers. So even Google, I'm not sure if you noticed, if you search for the word Christmas on Google, there is a dedicated section for Santa games on Google. And I also noticed people on YouTube or TikTok, even on Facebook, they are trying to host these virtual events for people who are feeling lonely on Christmas. But we thank and praise God. We have our church here, our community here. Our church is almost full today, so it's good to see all of you. We hope you don't attend virtual events. You come to church because we have a lot going on for Christmas. This morning, in the Christmas vibes, I wanted to start with a very simple activity, if you don't mind, yeah, in the spirit of Christmas. Can I ask everyone to please close your eyes? Shut them down tightly. Stanley, I can't see you're wearing glasses. Upstairs, is everyone ready? Okay, everyone, eyes closed. Yeah, please don't open your eyes until I tell you to do so. First of all, if you're expecting that a gift will drop on your hands or your lap or under your chair, that is not happening, okay? We are not doing that. The reason I ask you to close your eyes is because I want to think and make you think about a word and see what comes to your mind. So when you hear the word Christmas, what comes to your mind? Christmas. All right, you may open your eyes now. We thank you for participating in the activity. How many people honestly thought about Santa Claus or Christmas trees or gifts or food when you were thinking about Christmas? You know, typically these are the usual items people associate with Christmas. You know, Santa was even here on the stage today when Brother Stanley was playing the bass guitar, yeah? So Santa also appeared here. Especially the idea of Santa is so popular that many people cannot even imagine a Christmas without a Santa Claus. But did you know that Santa has its origin in a man called Saint Nicholas, who was well known for his gift giving? And it was the company Coca-Cola that came up with this modern day image of Santa Claus in 1930s for good marketing. So the idea of Santa is popular because Santa brings gift and gifts bring joy to many people around the world. And who doesn't like gifts? You know, gifts are nice, they are surprising, people feel very well when they receive them. Even our young adult ministry here at KLBC Desa Park, we celebrated Christmas and we did a gift exchange. I was very happy that I got a nice coffee mug as a present for my gift exchange. And if anyone is wondering if I'm shamelessly promoting our young adult ministry, you are absolutely right. I am. So if anybody would like to join, or if anybody knows anyone who can benefit from this ministry, please reach out to me. So back to Christmas. While there are many reasons like Santa or Christmas trees or food, Christmas is originally celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Although the exact date of Jesus' birth is up to debate, the question I throw at everyone this morning is, why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Why? Perhaps some of you do not know the answer to this question. Maybe some of you know the answer, but you struggle to explain it to other people in an easy way. Or maybe you think you know the answer, but you're not sure. Whatever the case is, my gift to everyone listening today to this sermon is to explain how the birth of Jesus is the greatest gift of all time. So that you can explain it to your family, to your loved ones, with people you work, and so on. There are many, many people around us that do not understand why the birth of Jesus is so important. So I hope and pray that you will be making some notes as we go along this journey today, because there's so many people around us who need this greatest gift of all time. This reminds me of a story. You know, as Christmas was coming, there was this young man who really loved his father. And his father lived in a hometown in Kampong, so he lived far away. And this young man decided that he wants to buy a very precious gift for his father. You know, he loved his father, so he thought, this Christmas I will buy a wonderful and unique gift. So he went out shopping, he put a lot of time and research into finding a very, very unique and special item. Finally, the man found an exotic parakeet. Parakeet is a type of a parrot. And this parrot was so special. He could speak 5 different languages. And he could even sing songs. You know, more talented than me. And this gift was $7,000. But the young man really loved his father. He thought, surely if I buy this parakeet to my father would really appreciate how much I love him. So he decided, okay, I'm going to buy this and wrap it up. And in time for Christmas, I will send it to my father. So Christmas came. The guy was really excited. He wanted to find out how his father reacts. So he got on the phone and called his father. He's like, Dad, Merry Christmas. Did you get my gift? His father replied, yes, son, I got it. And then the son asked, so father, did you like it? And the father replied, yes, son, I loved it. It was delicious. You know, obviously the father missed. Thankfully, you guys laughed. Huh? That was a joke, by the way. But obviously the father missed the point of this gift. Unfortunately, that is also the case with the God's gift of Jesus. Many people miss the point of why Jesus is born. So today we will go on a journey together as truth revealed to us in the Bible to understand how the birth of Jesus is God's gift of righteousness. Before we begin that journey, may I please invite everyone to close your eyes and pray together as a church. Almighty Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time at KLBC Desa Park, Lord. Thank you for blessing our church. It is wonderful to see so many people, so many brothers and sisters, the decorations all around us, O Lord. Everybody is happy, everybody is glad, and everybody is joyful. O Lord, I pray that today we understand why it is that Christians are joyful because of the Savior who is born into our lives. O Lord, I pray that as we hear this message, we don't just become hearers of your word, but we become doers of your word and help many people around us receive this most amazing and precious gift of Jesus in their lives. For all these, in Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. So the main idea of the sermon today is taken from Romans chapter 1, verse 17, which is actually the main theme of the book of Romans. It is from Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul writes, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, if anyone here does not know what the gospel is, it is the 4 books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which account for all the life and ministry of Jesus. So what Paul is saying is, in the gospel, or in the birth, life, ministry, mission, death, resurrection of Jesus, the righteousness of God is revealed. That is the main idea that we will explore today. And if you happen to be not a Christian, not a believer, all I ask you to do is keep an open mind as we reason together throughout this sermon. In order for us to understand what righteousness of God means, we must first define the term righteousness. What does righteousness mean? I Googled this and now Google has an AI mechanism. So AI says, righteousness is the quality of being morally correct and just, or the state of doing what is right. But the statement poses an important question. If righteousness is about doing what is morally correct or just, who defines the moral standard? Who defines what is right? Is it humans that define what is right? If so, we have a big problem. Because humans, although we are good, we're also corrupt. We're also prone to anger and wrath. We're also out of control for power and greed and lust and so on. What is right for a country is wrong for another. What is right for a culture could be totally wrong for another culture. What is right for a person could be totally wrong for another person. Adolf Hitler felt it was right to kill the Jews, so he murdered millions of Jews during World War II. In India, there is a culture called sati, whereby the widow of a man who has died is burnt alive in the fire along with the husband because they believe that is the right thing to do. There are terrorists who blow up many people, and they believe that is the right thing to do because in their mind, they're doing what is right. So while it sounds politically correct to say we have the right to do what is right for us, that is not the reality. If everyone can do what is right for them, there is actually nothing wrong, because right becomes subjective. So while we humans, we are amazing, we are brilliant in many ways, we cannot really define the moral standard or what is truly right. So who can do that? Well, some people say maybe religion defines what is right or wrong. But here lies another problem. Does anyone know here how many religions we have in the world today? More than 10,000. There are more than 10,000 unique religions in our world. And while religions may teach good stuff, they may teach good philosophy, not all religions can be right. Because in their core beliefs, they will contradict each other. So either all the 10,000 plus religions are false, or maybe there is one that speaks the truth. Take, for example, Hinduism. Hinduism has a concept of righteousness called karma. And I'm sure many people would have heard about karma because it is also used in Buddhism or Jainism. But in Hinduism, karma influences a person's soul journey through multiple lifetimes. It is linked to the concept of rebirth. So a person's destiny in karma is shaped by their past actions. Good actions and intentions lead to good karma and happier rebirths, while bad actions and bad intentions lead to bad karma and worse rebirths. So in Hinduism, the definition of righteousness depends on the human ability to do right or wrong. Do good, get good. Do wrong, get bad results. But the problem is the concept of karma in other religions may not be completely right, because other religions don't believe in rebirth. So you see, even religions can't fully determine what is right or what is wrong. So the question back to square one is, who determines what is right? Or how do we know what is the ultimate truth? You know, some people shy away from this conversation because in their hearts and minds, they don't care what is right or wrong. They just want to live their lives. Maybe some people look at these questions about truth and they have convinced themselves it does not matter what is right or wrong. Others are just busy living in the world that they don't have even time for truth. Well, whatever the case may be or wherever you stand, one truth that is certain for everyone is death. We all know that death will come for all, regardless of what we believe, regardless of what we think, regardless of how much wealth we have, how healthy we are, how much money we have stored, how much knowledge we have gathered, death will come for all. We all understand that, and we all know that that is the truth. But what everyone does not understand or know is, why do we die? And if all die, why are we even created in the first place? And is there any hope? Because if everyone is going to die, we should all party and live like there is no tomorrow. You know, as one thinks about the most fundamental questions of life, it does not take much time to realize that either there is no purpose to this life. We're all randomly here because a big bang happened and we all happen to be here. Believe what you believe, do what you want, it doesn't matter. Or there is a creator who created us. There is a God. There is an ultimate truth. And there is a God who can define what is right or wrong. That there is meaning and purpose to human life. You know, personally, I was born in a Hindu family, and I'm grateful that I have found the truth, the way, the life in Jesus. I can say the same for many of our brothers and sisters here. But if anyone here happens to not know the truth, the way, the life in Jesus, we're all hopeful that today is the day you do. To define righteousness, we must then turn to the Bible, which we believe is the very true word of the one true God, creator of everything. And we must start from the beginning. Humankind was created in God's image and granted dominion above other creatures. We were created by God, in the image of God, and we were given a purpose. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, tells us that God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So humanity, in its original creational intent, resembled this God who created us, and we shared in God's glory. As a result, everything early on was good. There was no death. There was no sickness. There was no worries. There was no hatred or any problem. In other words, early humanity in Adam and Eve, they were rocking. They were in God's immediate presence. Can you imagine how it is like to be in the presence of the creator of everything? No wonder people call it heaven when they talk about God's presence. But as we all know, Adam and Eve chose to do the only one thing God asked them to not do, that is, eat from the forbidden tree and the forbidden fruit. Sin entered humanity. If you're not a Christian, you will hear Christians talk about sin. What is sin? Sin is simply anything we say or do that is against God. So God told Adam and Eve, "Don't eat this fruit." They disobeyed God and went against him. So sin entered humanity. And because of sin, death entered humanity. The key verse for this is Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that is Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned." All humans are born from the tree line of Adam and Eve. All of us are in union with Adam or with sin. And it is because of sin that humanity was removed from God's presence. So we have answered how we were created. We were answered, why do we die? Because sin brings death. So everyone lacks in God's glory. In Adam, we're all doomed to die. Now, one may ask, you know, why God doesn't forgive Adam and Eve? You know, why God just don't turn one eye and, you know, just, okay, la, you made a mistake. Because God is a holy and just God. If God was to turn one eye, imagine what happens to this whole world. So God has to be just and fair. And God's response to human sin is known as God's wrath. Humanity stands condemned and subjected to the wrath of God and judgment because of sin. In other words, sin is what brings upon God's divine judgment. Sin leads to death, and no one is righteous in front of a holy God. Not a single person. When we stand in front of God, we're all guilty. We are all sinners. No one is born a Christian. We're all born sinners. So based on this biblical understanding, it's a very dark picture if you look at it. Because there's nothing we can do to be in the right relationship with God. We're all guilty. But there is hope. Because in the universal darkness of sin, the light of gospel has shone. And the gospel reveals a different righteousness. A righteousness that is filled with hope. And if you want to mark some verses down, please mark Romans chapter 3 verses 21 to 26. I read them out for you. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed before unpunished. He did this to demonstrate He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Now, if you're thinking it's a bit complicated for you to understand, allow me to simplify. The hope that we all have is that we cannot do anything to be in the right before God, but God has done something for us. God gave us Jesus. The righteousness of God is given through Jesus to all who believe, everyone. And the only reason God can justify sinners like us is because of the cross of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus can satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be the sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. This is why we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, there is no life. Without Jesus, there is no saving from death. Jesus is the only redeemer from sin and death. That is why Jesus is the most precious or the greatest gift of all time. And while there are many reasons for us to remember the birth of Jesus, for me personally, Christmas should be the celebration of God's love for humanity. Because in the cross, God has shown both his justice as well as his love. The only way God could justify the sins of humanity was to sacrifice his one and only Son for all of us. And in doing so, God reveals how much he loves us. God loves us more than our lovers ever could. God loves us more than our parents ever could. And a lot of people, unfortunately, do not understand this message of the gospel. Many people would say, what is this kind of God? He condemns people to hell. In fact, the opposite is true. We were all going to hell. We are all going to die. It is God, because of his love, who gives us an opportunity to live. All of us are heading towards death. It is God who gives us an opportunity to survive. That opportunity or gift came at a very high price. Imagine God, being the most powerful being in this universe, still allowed his son to die for us. That is love. And it is because of love, God has given all of us a choice. A choice to choose like Adam and Eve had to choose. Obey God or go our own way. Follow Jesus or follow whatever you want to follow. And recently I was at a company dinner. You know, we had many people from all nationalities come to our company dinner. More than 30, 40 packs of people were there. And suddenly somebody raised this question of Christmas. The person is like, hey, you know, Christmas is coming. Why is it that you Christians are always asking people to believe in Jesus? You know, why can't we believe in what we believe, man? And we were having a very decent conversation, by the way. So another person stood up, and this person was like, yeah, you know, she's right. We should believe what we believe. We should follow what we follow. Insofar, we are not doing harm to other people. And everybody was like, yeah, yeah, cheers, cheers. You're right, you're right. My boss happened to be there in this dinner event. And my boss was struggling with all these questions. So she looked at some of our Christian brothers and sisters, and she asked, well, guys, you know, why is it that the Christian God wants you to leave all your belief system and values and follow him? You know, what kind of a God will send hardworking, good people who are doing good for the society? I don't understand this. I see a lot of people are smiling. So probably these questions have come to you at some point in time. What was your answer? Now, there was a few Christians sitting on my table, and they decided to be politically right. They were telling my boss, yeah, 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 we understand, we understand. You know, but God gave me an opportunity and the courage to share the gospel with them. I started like how I started today, asking them what is the truth. Asking them all religions can't be right. And I praise God that some of my colleagues really started to think about it. And my boss ended up asking me for a Christian apologetics book, which he has promised to read this new year. Right? And that is the opportunity we all have as Christians. So while we celebrate Christmas, we have joy in our lives, and we celebrate it with our loved ones and people in church, we must be able to explain why is it we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because there's a lot of people who would ask you the questions I threw today. So I hope and pray that the sermon helps you to craft a better response for these people. The reason why everyone must believe in Jesus is because Jesus is the only hope from death. Because Jesus is the only one who can turn the wrath of God against us into favor, because he atoned for our sins. It was Jesus who died on the cross. Jesus is the one who bore our sins. As Isaiah says, which Deacon Bruce also highlighted last Sunday, but he was pierced for our transgressions. The he here is the Messiah or Jesus. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him iniquity of all of us. Jesus absorbed the wrath of God and satisfied it in full. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have a life even after death. And from human perspective, we may feel that so-and-so person deserves to go to heaven. From a human perspective, we may feel that, you know, like so-and-so person should not die in hell, you know, they should be given more opportunity. But this is not our decision. This is God's decision. So we must turn to the standard that God has set. And the standard of God is very clearly revealed in the Bible, where he says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, not a single person, comes to God the Father except through Jesus. Anyone who is rejecting Jesus stands condemned by the wrath of God because of sins. And those who accept Jesus are given a pardon, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. So righteousness, or the birth of Jesus, is God's gift. Through Jesus, we are made righteous as a gift because he has redeemed us. And what Paul does is, in Romans, he draws parallels between Adam and Jesus. The glory we lacked in Adam because of the sin is now redeemed in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Adam depicts the sinfulness of all humanity, and Jesus is God's solution to the problem of sin. According to Paul, humanity is characterized by two ways. Those who are in Adam, that are in sin and guilt, and others who are in Jesus, in grace and faith. Adam brought humanity sin, condemnation, and death. Jesus brought humanity justification, righteousness, and life because of his obedience. So only a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus can justify unrighteous people like us before God. We often think about righteousness from our own perspective, but I hope today you can think about it from God's perspective. A good example is the judgment in a court. When a person is brought in a court as accused, the judge needs to make a decision if they are guilty or innocent. In the same day, one day we will be standing in front of God in the courtroom of God, where God will be the judge to make a decision about what happens to us. And you see, the problem is we're all guilty. In front of God, we're all guilty. But it is because of Jesus, God pardons those who fully trust and believe in Jesus. God loves us so much that he has given us this saving righteousness from him in Jesus. So if you're not yet a believer in God, in Jesus, are you going to accept this gift of God, or are you going your own way? And for those of you who are believers, I only have one question. What are you doing with this gift of God? What are you doing with it? You know, maybe you should consider what gift you will give to God this Christmas. And this wasn't part of my script, but I'm very happy that one gift that I have seen today is our brother Cameron, who is sitting here after struggling from a stroke. So let's welcome him with open arms. Hey, Cameron. I hope and pray, as Christians, who you are saved for the price that God paid on the cross, you are using it to serve God. For Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Let us pray. Almighty Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the gift of righteousness you have given to us. Oh Lord, in our human thinking, we always wonder whether we are right in front of you or we deserve to die or we deserve to live. In our human thinking, we are always debating many things in our mind and hearts. But oh Lord, today we have learned your perspective. How can a holy and just God save unrighteous people like us? And you gave us the answer in the birth of Jesus. Oh Lord, we are thankful that you found a way because you love us to save us. And oh Lord, I pray that as we learn today, it is not that God condemns people to hell. It is totally the other way. God has given us an opportunity to be saved. There are many people in our families. There are many people in our friend circle. There are many people in our workplace where we have the opportunity to share the greatest gift of all time. Oh Lord, I pray that this Christmas, as we surrender to you and we look back into our lives, are we evangelizing to people in our lives? Are we sharing the gospel to other people that are around us, or are we just enjoying the gift of Jesus to ourselves? Help us reflect, O Lord. Help us in our hearts and minds to be challenged, to prepare and to be equipped to share the gospel with other people who will be asking us really difficult questions. And O Lord, I pray for every single person who is sitting in this sanctuary, in this church and house of God, that this Christmas we may really kneel down for those of us who believe and kneel down and thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The righteousness of God is only received through Him. Be with us, O Lord, and be with our families. Be with anyone who is thinking about this gift of Jesus today and is not a believer yet. Lord, I pray the sermon and the sharing works in their heart and plants a seed for them to know more about Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we love you for the love you have for all of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray.